have to say goodbye. Yes, this is Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number during the programme is 087 69 44 500. And we'd love to hear from you. And you can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com.
And greetings go out today to listeners and supporters. That's Eddie and Desi and Janie and Chris, Dave, Anton, Spencer and Nancy and Ron Mullins and also Billy Jago, just to name a few. And also our backroom staff at Near FM. Hi to you. There's Donny and Paul on podcasting and Ida. Thank you very much for all your assistance. And if you want to access any of our previous 8 episodes that we've done so far, you can go to the website nearfm.ie and go to the podcast section and you'll find it all there and you can listen back. And particularly last week, Paul, there was highly recommended. It was episode 8 and we had an interview with, in your absence, I have
in
to stress.
In my absence, yeah.
well, you're up some mountain or something like that. We spoke to Joe Kerrigan, local man, who really had a story to tell.
Yeah, in fact, I was able to listen in live and I got kind of scared. I said, I better get over there next week or I'm out of a job. Because you guys were very good.
Well,
of course. Joe had a really good story to tell. It was gripping.
He really did. And it was quite extraordinary because I was talking to some lady at the weekend she had a similar condition to Joe, you know, and I was able to say that she could look up the podcast and listen to the message, because Joe got healed of a brain hemorrhage, which is a serious matter. You know, he thought he was going to die.
That's
and,
right.
It really was quite dramatic. So again, listeners, if you haven't heard it, I recommend you to go dig into the archives. You might find that one.
So that was number 9, was it? So this is, today is our 10th, I think, is it?
Today is our, yeah, something like that. Something I can't like that. Count. Anyway. You lose count.
But they're all
while,
up there on the web anyway, so it's easy to find them.
Yep. Okay, well look, Paul, we're going to just jump right into something today because we let our street reporter, Jim, loose again. You know,
very
we do
good.
Have a habit of leaving people loose in this program. If it's not our secret believer down to the vaults, it's Jim out on the streets. So let's just have a listen and see what he.
Where was
up
he?
With.
This wasn't in the city centre, was it?
No, sorry, this was locally. This was in the Northside Shopping Centre, just down the
stone's
road.
Stone's throw away. Okay,
yep, that's right.
So we're getting very local.
From Near FM radio station. My name is Jim. Who are you?
Adam.
Adam, good to meet you. Just a few questions. Do you ever think about God?
Not all the time.
But you have thought about God and His existence.
Yeah.
When God comes into your head, what do you think? What do you think He's like?
Never really thought of that.
Do you think He knows about you?
I hope so.
That's well, I guess we do hope
we
that.
We all think.
Do you ever pray, Adam?
Yeah.
When you're in trouble, maybe?
No, when family gets ill.
Okay, when there's sickness. Yeah. And you believe that he heals today?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. What about Jesus, the Son of God? Remember St. Patrick and came with the news of Jesus. What do you think about Jesus?
Same as I think of God, really.
Yeah, okay. The Son of God. Yeah. If he hadn't come to the earth, would the world be the same or would it be worse?
Probably wouldn't be a world. By now, like.
Interesting. Yeah. You'd think it would get so crazy that we'd have self-destructed.
Yeah, more likely.
If you could be certain that he exists, would you want to know him?
I think most people would.
I guess, yes. What about going to church, Adam? Does that interest you?
No, not really.
Okay. How do you think someone becomes a Christian? Let's say a guy who is a pagan, didn't believe, and then suddenly they become a Christian. I guess they make some discovery.
Change of heart.
If you were to die tonight, Adam, where do you think you'd go?
I'd hope we'd go to heaven.
And you'd hope you wouldn't go to hell?
No, I wouldn't want to.
You meet God for the first time. What would you say? to him?
What's the cure for all the sicknesses?
Sickness is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think Jesus can heal today?
Yeah.
Great.
I'm sure he has healed.
Yeah. Well, remarkable interview. I suppose what strikes me again is that, and we've come across this in previous interviews, that people have a generally positive attitude to God and to Jesus, mm-hmm. but they know very little.
That's right, yeah.
You know, they don't... he says, do you think... Jim asks, do you think God knows you? Do you think he knows you? And he's not quite sure. He thinks, well, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, I can really see a very honest interview, that one, and I thought there was a real heart cry there, because he didn't doubt that God heals, which is remarkable, and but he does go to God when there's great needs. Now, you know, it certainly sounded like there was a great healing need in the family.
The first thing that he thought of was that he would pray when there was need for healing. And I mean, we know from Joe's program last week, that God certainly does heal. Doesn't heal every single time, but that he very often does. And if he doesn't provide one kind of healing, it's some other kind of healing. It might be a more internal healing, an emotional, psychological, spiritual healing, if not always a physical one.
But in our lives, people are so used to being in control of things and being able to, make things happen the way they want to happen. And then there's things outside of their control. And then that's the time very often people begin to look towards God. And God, in his mercy, often he kind of answers those prayers and meets those needs. The desire is not that he's like Santa Claus up in the sky and constantly giving the gifts, you know, and everyone ignores him, no time for him, and then suddenly there's a crisis, they need him, you know. Mm-hmm. The desire and the thing we talk about in the God Talk program is this relationship where you could every day talk to God, every day listen to him and hear his voice and walk with him. So that it's natural to talk to him when things are bad, but at the same time, when things are good, who talks
also,
to God when things are good?
Lots of things. It's interesting that our interviewee was asked. Jim said to him, "What would you want to know him?" In other words, if you knew that God really existed, if you're sure that he was there, would you really want to know him? And the answer was, I think most people would.
Yeah.
The people don't seem to realise that's really very possible. It's not a mystery. It's not a hard thing to do.
No, and as well, the one thing is the character of God. Many people mispaint the character of God as someone who you just don't want to know. But the truth is, there's nobody who's better than him. He's good. He's right. He's just a perfect father, and all these things. You know, I've heard it said, a statement once, that the enemy or the devil has given God a character. Well, I'm going to get this quote all wrong, you know, but to manipulate and control people, it paints a character of God which is manifestly untrue. And, you know, God is a very personable God.
Where do you think people get those wrong ideas from?
Well, I think we live in the information age, but we also live in the misinformation age. You know, so there's a whole load of stuff being said out there, you know, which is unfiltered, uncensored. It's just a whole load of stuff. It can be right and it can be wrong. So we're in a very relativistic age, if that's a proper word, you know, where people just don't know how to know fake news from real news, how to know truth from lies, all these things. And that's why the focus, Jesus himself called himself, "I'm the way, the truth and the life." And really, to anchor yourself in some truth is to know your Creator, the one who made you. And I think that's a great starting point.
And that's really why he came, wasn't it? So that in some sense, we can read, for example, the Old Testament. We find the revelation of God there, but it can seem very distant and sometimes remote to people. So instead of just telling us about what God was like, he actually came to show us in human form, to be a human being and to be a man, and to really show himself to people so that they could see for themselves what he was like.
I love the story. I think it emanated from the famous Billy Graham. He gave an illustration one day. He said, if you saw a bunch of ants, you know, these little creatures, and they were about to walk over the cliff and kill themselves, something terrible, you know, and if you wanted to communicate to them and you said to stop them and you shouted down and say, stop, you're going near the cliff, well, there are a bunch of ants on the ground, they wouldn't understand your voice. They think it's a load of wind or something, you know. But if you managed to transform yourself into an ant and got down amongst them and communicated to them, there's a chance you could make that connection. And that's the very thing God did with us. in the Old Testament, when God appeared very often, those who weren't believers thought it was a thunder. They thought it was a wind.
That's right.
They didn't recognize it for what it is. But then we see God becoming man through Jesus. And then it was a guy walking around. It was one of the lads, you know, and he was able to talk to people. That's how God communicates with us. That's why on a very simple level, the New Testament much easier to read than the Old Testament, because it says it straight.
Exactly, and especially the Gospels. I mean, they're just stories of Jesus living and walking and talking to people. I was just thinking earlier on, you could say, if someone asked the question, well, why did Jesus come? I mean, what was the purpose of his coming?
Yeah.
You could say, why
did he come, Paul?
So,
put you in the hot seat.
Well, where do we start? But the one I was thinking of is, you know, that story where Zacchaeus was the tax collector, and Zacchaeus comes and climbs up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And then Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. But then Zacchaeus finds that today all Zacchaeus' friends, who were sort of not really the sort of people that, I suppose they weren't certainly religious people, mm-hmm. and they come along, and so some of the more respectable people are really upset and wondering, what's all this about? But Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost.
Right.
So that was an interesting one. So in what sense was Zacchaeus lost?
Yeah. So he knew where his home was. He was in his hometown.
So he didn't think he was lost.
Yeah.
But it's like that from God's perspective, he was lost because he didn't know God. He wasn't relating to God. He was... He just felt there was a distance there, and Jesus came to actually find him and to bring him back.
Mm-mm. Wow. Yeah.
Gosh. So he came to seek and to save the lost, not just to actually seek, to go after them.
Yeah. And it's
to find them where they are.
You know, and the patience of God is something that constantly astounds me, you know, because I know in my own life I had no time for God, and I was just living in a very selfish way, you know, and yet God was persistent in his reaching out to me. And I've seen it in many other people's lives, that God is merciful and he's patient. You know, the word of God says that he wishes none to perish, but all to come to repentance. You know, mm-hmm. so that he doesn't want to bring judgment day straight up quickly. You know, he just waits to bring in the full number of people. And some people say, well, why does evil exist today in the world? That's part of the answer, I believe, Paul, is that God is patient mm-hmm. towards wanting people to turn around. There's this old-fashioned word, you might call it, repent, you know. Mm-hmm. It physically means turn around.
That's right.
In the Greek army, apparently, the command is shouted out of the soldiers marching on the parade ground, and they're marching one way, and they want them to march 180 degrees the other way. They shout it out, repent, you know.
Yeah, and turn around.
It's a good illustration of what that word means.
It just means to turn around, change of direction.
Yeah, but we've the religious people have made it into a grovelly sort of put on your hair shirt and, you know, make life miserable for yourself.
Well, yes, and in fact some of the old English translations had do penance.
Oh yeah, that really puts a spin on it.
And in fact it isn't that. And again, another, I mentioned Zacchaeus. The other one that comes to mind is Levi, also in Luke's Gospel a bit earlier in chapter 5. And Levi made a great feast, and all these tax collectors and other ne'er-do-wells, the mm-hmm. types that were yeah. not respectable and not religious, they all came along. And so people, the religious people, the Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled and they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician,
yeah.
but those who are sick. And then he goes on to say, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yeah.
So in other words, he said, I've come for people who are sick.
But Paul, I've could you translate that and say, I haven't come for good people, I've come for bad people.
Exactly.
You know, that's news for a lot of people.
So if you have it all together, if your life is together, if everything is working well, if you're satisfied with yourself and everyone around you is satisfied, happy with you, so on, well, you don't need any saving.
I think Jesus came across one of those guys, a rich young ruler, you know, and he came to him and he said, what have I got to do? And he was all ready, you know, for Jesus to mm-hmm. say things. So Jesus laid out some of the law and the good things that you'd be doing, and he said, I've done all that, you know. And then Jesus saw the idolatry in his heart about money, you know, and said, well, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Man, the guy went off with a really long face, you know, and disappeared. And it's like the, you know, you can't do enough for God. You really can't. It's only him that did the work for us, and us by faith turning to Jesus Christ. And then he changes the heart. This is the big thing. because our natural heart is kind of bent against God. We love ourselves. We love our doing our own thing, you know, mollycoddling ourselves. Pick up any, not that you do this, Paul, but if you pick up a woman's magazine, and we're not sexist here, we love women, and I'm married to one. Hello. And I just said that so many of them say, look after yourself, make time for yourself, pamper yourself, you know, make, you know, all this sort of me stuff. And it's kind of, it's about living for your creator, not living for yourself.
So. Yeah, but then he gives you satisfaction in that, and he gives you really a much better life than you would ever have
if you went about it
your own way.
Yeah. So, you know, there was other points that Adam raised in the thing. When he was asked by Jim whether the world would be the same if Jesus never arrived, you know, he said something very interesting. He said two things, actually. He said there probably wouldn't be a world. And then he kind of seemed to say a slightly different thing afterwards, that without Jesus' input, we'd probably have all killed ourselves and destroyed the planet.
Yeah, self-destroyed. Yeah.
Well, on the first point, you know, Jesus was, as part of the Trinity, he was part of the creation. You know, there would be no world without Jesus.
That's true, because it says in Scripture that he holds it all, he keeps it all going by his almighty power. So yeah. Not only is he the creator, but he's also the sustainer. He's the one that keeps life going.
Yeah, I find sometimes on the street when I'm talking to people about Jesus, if you meet a very religious person who has more devotion to his mother than to Jesus, right?
To Jesus' mother, you mean?
Mother. Mary. Okay. And I say to them, I said, you know, Jesus was the only fella who was older than his mother. It tends to put things in perspective, you know, because even at the Feast of Cana, the famous scripture that's used to try and show the superiority of Mary, it doesn't actually do that. Mary says, whatever he says, do it.
Yeah, I remember one time somebody shouted out from the crowd, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that you sucked, nursed you. And which was, of course, high praise to the mother of this great teacher. In other words, you must have had an absolutely wonderful mother to turn out so well.
It's a real Irish thing, isn't
it? Yeah, and Jesus' answer was amazing. He said, well, blessed rather, he said, much more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Yeah.
And another time then they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. And he said, pointing to those around him who are listening to him, he said, those who hear my word and those who are my disciples, they are mother and brother and sisters to me. So he said, they're my family. It's not so much my natural mother, Mary. It's those, my disciples are my family now.
Yeah. And that's why I love that in John's Gospel chapter 1, where he says he gave them right to become children of God. Mm-hmm. You know, and really to get adopted into the family, God's family, is the most powerful thing. It really is. And it's the most certain thing when you're a believer, is that you can identify that God is your father.
Well, that brings us to another point in the interview, because Jim asked Adam, well, he said, how does a person become a Christian? So you're saying to everyone who believed in him, to them he gave right or he gave authority to become children of God. So practically speaking, if people have no sense of that, they've no idea whether they are or aren't children of God, what's, to go back to the question, to Jim's question, how does a person become a Christian in that sense, in the New Testament sense?
Well, I think the first thing is, we were talking in previous weeks about short prayers coming from the heart.
That's right.
You know, and very often it is an acknowledgement of God. Remember the thief and the cross guy? He didn't have a big long-winded prayer. Simple one. He said, Jesus, remember me in paradise. But the thing about it was he was believing that Jesus was the Messiah. And the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, there's a promise. And those two things, first is there's the faith, and there's also the confession, you know, which means speaking out and really believing it, you know, that Jesus, you're now my number one, because that involves a dethroning of self. As you used to be number one, but now it's
right.
Jesus is number one. So as you pray, you're asking for the will of God so that you can walk in it. You're not demanding anything, which is the normal habit of people. So I think that's repentance is a word that's often used. That's turning around. But that's the very thing you have to do. You have to turn from being your number one yourself to having Jesus as number one.
So unpacking that a bit, because as I said, Jesus said, I've come to call not the righteous. So I haven't come looking for holy people. Jesus says, I haven't come to earth looking for good people. I'm looking for sinners.
Yeah.
So first of all, the person has to have some sense that they're a sinner. So if I say, well, I'm righteous, I'm good, I have it all together, Jesus has nothing to offer you in actual fact.
Oh, look, Paul, you won't get away with that one.
But it's true.
No, but I mean, I ask you three questions and show that you're not perfect.
I know.
You know, I'd say
but
if you
think
lied.
You have, but if you think you have.
Did you ever tell a lie, Paul? Did you? Come
but
on,
if you think,
spit it out
but
on
if you
air.
Think, if someone says, well, I've got it all together, and if they're convinced of that, well then there's nothing, Jesus has
nothing. Well, there's
nothing
can be done for them.
Exactly.
Because that's the very thing the Pharisees were saying.
Exactly.
That we've got it all together, and who are you, you untrained, uncouth youth. You know, the sort of, there was this attitude towards him. He was from the worst part of the place, Nazareth, of all places, you know. And he was a carpenter's son, you know. He wasn't even learned, you know. So they really, and then they muttered about the circumstances of his birth, because didn't Mary
that's
become
right.
pregnant before she was married, you know.
So that's
so you got all this going on. They really didn't have time for Jesus, but they did elevate their scholarly education. And
the point was, they were the ones that really rejected him, because as far as they were concerned, they were the righteous ones. And he said, well, I haven't come looking for the righteous ones. I haven't coming because there was nobody really righteous.
Yeah.
But he says, I've come for the sinners. And he said, I've come to call them and to bring them to repentance. In other words, to turn around.
Yeah.
So Levi, the guy I mentioned, the tax collector, I mean, he just turned right around.
Yeah. Look, Paul, time's flying. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have our closing prayer.
Okay, is it that time already?
For us. And following that, I'm going to introduce the music now, because we're going to slide straight into it.
Who are we going to listen to
today? It's a really old one now, I have to say. It's from Blind Willie Johnson. You know,
okay.
So you're really going to enjoy this when it comes up. But first of all, Paul,
I'm going to read Psalm 145. Mm-hmm. It's a song of praise, and it's a psalm of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name for ever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
You've been listening to the God Talk programme on 90.3 Near FM. This is Anthony Brabazon.
And this is Paul Caffrey saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye and signing off. And don't forget, you can email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. So God bless you, and thank you very much for listening.